The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And welcome back. We start the second hour of the National Intel Report. I am your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is January 16th, 2023. And we bring to the mic my good friend from the Redwoods, Mr. Ron McDonald. Are you there, Ron?
I'm here. I would ask you how you're doing, but from what I understand, you've had some good callers.
Yeah, I've had some heated discussions. You know me, Ron. We've known each other for a while, and I'm a pretty nice guy. You know, I come at a direction and I ask you, you know, well, you've said something that's interesting. Okay. That's a big, bold accusation. Can you provide me with some data to verify and validify the statement, the accusation? Could you send me something in my email? Could you show me the proof of what you've just said to be? And when then somebody says, I don't have to show you anything, I'm thinking, then why are you calling in here? Why are you bothering me? Why are you wasting my time? Now what you've told me is a bizarre accusation here, because if you simply could prove it, you would prove it and send me the information. I'm looking it up on my cell phone, can't find anything at all. I find the name Harry Cohen, and it's a producer in Hollywood. And this guy's David in Massachusetts is telling me that John Kerry had changed his name. He changed his name to Harry Cohen. And that's evidently not the truth. So he goes off on that. I finally have to yell at him, cut him off, said, that's it, that's it. I've been nice to you for years and years. I've given you how many chances now? Probably more than any host on this network. That's it. Don't bother me anymore. You're banned from my show and my Sunday show. Done with it. David, you screwed up, man.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How did we get here, Steve?
How did we get here? Well, I led you here, sir, for I am Spartacus.
You love that.
I love saying that. That movie was on the other day, That Thing You Do, and I just love that line because I told you the Spartacus story, how I told somebody my name was Spartacus. Yeah. And I had that nurse convinced my name was Spartacus for a couple weeks. And she's running around the hospital saying, you know, that new nurse there, that traveler, Spartacus, he's a nice guy, Spartacus. And they're all looking at, what are you talking about? That guy over there, Spartacus. That's not Spartacus. His name is Steve. But I love that story. How did we get here? I led you here, sir, for I am Spartacus. So I'm calmed down now. I was asked if I was Jewish. Ron, are you Jewish? Are you Jewish?
I thought so, but apparently not.
I'm only Jewish when it comes down to saving my money. Does that count?
Yeah, that does count.
Does that count?
That counts big time.
I didn't know that. Well, actually, yeah, it goes back. That counts. If I save my money and I'm thrifty and I watch my money, I'm Jewish. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're Jewish if you watch your money.
Well, then, Ron, everybody listening audience, I am Jewish. I am Jewish. I watch my money. I am fiscally responsible. I don't overcharge my cards. I have no debt. I'm Jewish. Dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a simple test for it.
Well, you know what? I'm not wearing the hat. I am not going to wear that
hat. Yarmulke?
I'm not going to wear it. No, I refuse to wear it. I had one as a child. It had a little propeller on it, but it fell off, and I'm not going to put it back on. No, not going to do that. Let's go to the phones and see if we can get some really intelligent calls tonight. Melissa in Maryland, welcome to the show.
Okay, hi there. I see you haven't forgotten about me.
No. You're here. You're live. You're not Memorex. Go for
it. Yeah, touchy subject, but I think that you can handle it.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out why the rhyme and reason to a couple's age, A-G-E, when they get married. And I'm basically trying to find out why couples cannot hold their horses and get married, wait off until they're 30 or they're 35, and why couples get married young, you know, before they're 30 and before they're 25, because there's so many others that you meet throughout the course of your life. And I just wonder if there is something medical to it, if there is biology to it, that you literally can't hold off and literally can't wait, you know.
I don't believe so. Here's my answer to you. These people that get married in high school, these high school sweethearts, and they married, those are a big time disaster. Most of them are. I'm one of them.
I'm one of those.
The thought maybe a high school sweetheart romance would carry on and it would work, and it never does, because you grow and you mature later on. You realize, well, you know, we only had one thing in common, and that's pretty much it. So we've grown in different directions. But my father always used to say that looking at the age of both individuals, the male and female, there's a maturity level that must be reached before you finally decide to take that decision, make that big decision of getting married. And he thought that a man should probably be right in his early 30s, 30, 32, and a woman in her late 20s, maybe mid-20s, let's say 25 to 27. By that time, both people, both male and female, hopefully have gone on to higher education, got their education, their degrees now. Maybe they even have waived their debt, got their debt out of the way. And so when they start into a relationship and for the future, they're not settled down with a lot of debt. Another problem is I've seen that a lot of young people look at their parents and say, I want to live just like they do right now, brand new out of college. And that's not possible because your parents took a long time to get to that economic level where they can enjoy their lives and they had the nice belongings, nice cars, nice this and that. And you get this young generation that thinks, well, I want to start off that way. You can't do that. You got to pay your dues. So if you have that kind of mindset, you're looking at a disaster, an economic disaster, and probably looking at a divorce, because bottom line is economics is probably one of the biggest reasons for divorce, economics.
Okay. So you don't think that there is biology in there a little bit? You don't think that there are some? I mean, I know that there are couples that you can't talk out of that decision, but I just wonder whether there are some that literally can't help it, and they go ahead and marry by the time they're 25, by the time they're 30.
Well, you could be talking about insecurity, too. I mean, some people are – I mean, I've met people that are in relationships, and why are they in relationships? Because they don't want to be alone. You know, they're unhappy in the relationship, but they can't stand being alone. And Ron, you probably could agree with that. Some people, you know, how many relationships have we seen? People that says, well, they got a crappy marriage. You could get out of the marriage, but it's cheaper to keep her. And they don't want to split up the assets now. And they simply stay with the person they don't love anymore. It's more of a roommate situation. There's a maturity level that must be met. And I think if you reach that maturity level, the male or the female reaches that maturity level, then I think you have a greater success in a marriage in the future.
Okay, but you're telling me from a nurse perspective that there is no biology involved in that, because I don't think that all humans are capable of the same thing. I think that we're on a spectrum, and, you know, like, not everybody is just, you know, capable of doing what the person next to them is doing, and it's just the way that it is.
Well, I don't think there's any biology with it. It's like I said, I'll attribute it to the maturity level of both individuals. And you know, we have a lot of interruption in our lives. I mean, how influential is TV in our lives? Some people, it's really influential. I mean, look at it.
I would say if you put yourself in front of it regularly, it can be very influential.
Just look at the dress code of some of these shows and how fast the dress code will pick up with the young people because they think it's cool, it's hip. So TV can be very influential. But I do believe the maturity level is probably the make or break of a relationship and longevity. So if both are mature and understanding and have their education out of the way, let's just say they have a better shot in a marriage and longevity.
What about the male and the typical male and female roles, the provider and the one that stays home and takes care of the family?
Well, that's something to definitely factor in also. I mean, I don't know how many – what do you think the percentage, Ron, of women that actually get to stay home and actually take care of the family these days because of the second check is needed to take care of the family, especially right now with inflation prices. I know I grew up with my mom staying at home, cooking and taking care of everything at the house. Didn't have to work. My father did well enough. But that faded away, I'm going to say, in the late 80s, early 90s, something happened where women now were entering the workforce for a necessity to have enough income to take care of the children. Maybe it was college tuition. I don't know. Maybe college tuition went up drastically. And you want to send your kids to school, so you take an extra job here and there, the woman. It's definitely family life. Changed, and it's actually been for the worse because I kind of like the idea of the mother staying home and nurturing and taking care of the child.
So I have to say that with my relationship with my wife, it was love at first sight. Though it was love at first sight, I didn't start dating her until 4 years after meeting her. But I was building a business at that time, and we've been married. It'll be 42 years this year.
42 years.
Yeah, and I love her as much today. More today than I did when I first met her.
I think there's a song that goes that way, right?
Is there? Okay, maybe I'm the author.
Michael, hunt down that song where I love you more today than I did the first time I saw you. I think there is a song. Melissa, got to move on here. Thanks. Great question, but there's no biological, as far as I'm concerned. It's just a level of maturity.
I was just going to say you handled that well, and I just had one comment about inflation. I got a sticker shock the other day because I went into Five Guys, and they wanted $10 for a cheeseburger, and I had to politely decline.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
$10
anyway, for a cheeseburger.
At Five
Guys. You should have taken the cheeseburger and said, I'll gladly pay you on Tuesday, Melissa.
You know where I'm going with that one.
You know, remember Wimpy from Popeye? I'll gladly pay you on Tuesday for a hamburger today. There you go.
Did that ever happen? Did that pan out?
I don't know if Wimpy ever paid his hamburger.
He never did pay.
I think he just grabbed the cheeseburger and ran. He said, I'll pay you Tuesday. All right. Okay. Hey, thanks for the call.
Good work. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Got to move on here. Marco in Alabama. We got to run through these fast here. Michael, let's pull back some brakes here. Let's catch up. Marco, Alabama, you're up.
All right. First and foremost, I want to say thank you, Steve, for letting me on. You know, the gentleman, you know, from Dave from Massachusetts, I mean, he nearly gets kicked off of every show that he's on, so it's no big deal. You know, he trashes Alex Jones. You know, for all the things that we say about Jews and stuff like that, the Jewish people are the most vaccinated people out of any nation, you know, that there is. I mean, there's documented proof that Benjamin Netanyahu went on national television and said, our people are the guinea pigs for Pfizer. And all that stuff, man. So I'm going to bury that there. You know, as it pertains to your question about Kentucky, I have talked to numerous people from Kentucky. I am a hotel manager, and we have a contract with Toyota, which has a large plant in Kentucky. And I always ask, you know, the conservatives that I meet in my hotels, you know, why do you guys keep voting for Mitch McConnell? And they tell me they don't.
They said that,
it's the same, you know, factor that keeps Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and all of these people in their districts. Their districts Add
to that, and add to that why John McCain always got voted in Arizona, too. I know that was a stolen election. John McCain every time.
That's true. And then, you know, like as it pertains to Biden, is now a liability to the Democrats.
Oh, he's huge.
Is a Democrat liability for the simple fact that if you guys all sit here and think about this, all right, in 2016, when Hillary Clinton was going up against Donald Trump, you know, that the crime of having documents carried a 5-year penalty, a fine, or both. And James Comey, dude, came out, dude, and negated, you know, any of her stuff so that she could keep going. He basically exonerated both Trump and Biden at this point. But, you know, they're not going to get him with these documents. They're going to get Biden, you know, with either the 26th Amendment or somebody's going to shoot him. Or somebody, you know, he's going to get the...
I said the 25th. The 25th Amendment was my theory because it's going to save him on the corruption and the money under the table for the pay-for-play for China and Ukraine, because you can't prosecute somebody who can't comprehend the charges against them.
That's true.
I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to force him out. I mean, when you see people like Adam Schiff, now going after Joe Biden, which has never happened before... the Democrats have definitely turned on him, and I want to talk about what this is with Ron, but we can open that door now. The classified documents were found. How come the Secret Service and the FBI, who've been covering his ass from day one, all the corruption from the Biden family, why didn't they just keep their mouth shut? Why didn't they return the documents to where they belong? Keep their mouth shut. Why did they spill the beans and open up this can of worms for Joe Biden to out him? Why did they throw him under the bus? Because they plan on getting rid of this guy.
Joe Biden has, you know, used up all of his usefulness. They needed, I mean, they wanted to keep Joe Biden there, dude, because, you know, if they can get the 25th Amendment on him, they'll figure, all right, well, all the investigations leading up to the Biden presidency will go away, dude, because, And that's the entire thing. But I honestly think, give it a couple months. I'm thinking, dude, that Joe Biden is going to make a national, you know, have a national conversation with America. And he's basically going to say, you know, how, you know, this country, dude, is in so much debt, dude, that we need money, dude, from the World Economic Forum and the International, you know, Bank. And we're going to have to give up some of our liberties. And our children are going to have to, you know, pay down some of this debt if we want this America. And that people who are, you know, property owners are going to wind up being the only ones that can vote. You know, people who are living a housing condo, you know, apartment complex or anything like that, where you're not an owner, you're not eligible. And you know, that they're going to redefine citizenship, and they'll probably redefine citizenship, dude, as your willingness, dude, to go over to, you know, Russia and all that stuff and kill yourself. Yeah. You know, that kind of that Starship Troopers, you know, version of citizenship where
well, you
know,
you're going to
serve in the military because the military is going to be the only job, you know, left, you know, in this country that the robots aren't going to take care of.
The only job left is military, and then you have to be jabbed up. You have to have all the juice there, the COVID juice, to stay in the military or you get discharged with a dishonorable discharge. Let me leave you with one last thing here because I got a bunch of calls I got to get to. But, Marco, do not count out a false flag, a significant flag, to cover up this whole Biden classified documents. Do not count that out, a major flag, so they can have our attention directed away. And maybe this guy is going to stay in the rest of his last of his term, 2 years. He's shot for 2024. He's history. But look for a false flag, I bet. I appreciate the call, Marco. I got to move on, though. Francis in North Carolina, you're up next.
Hey, you two young fellas. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Ron, are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing excellent.
Okay.
Okay, if he's doing excellent, I want to know what he's been eating or drinking.
Just meat. Just eating meat and water.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'll throw a little water over the – never mind. Anyway.
All right. What's on your mind?
What isn't on my mind, as I generally like to tell Michael, for that matter. One thing, I'm glad that I was on hold because I was so wild by the commentary that you had to endure, for that matter, and I have to applaud you on how you handled it, for that matter, because basically you had a tag team deal hit you.
Sound
one
like
round the other.
Yeah, huh? I did. I did.
And so...
Francis, hey, Francis, are you Jewish, Francis? I'm just curious. Are you Jewish?
I must be because I'm like
So you watch your money too? You're really frivolous with your money, like me.
I go to secondhand shops to get designer clothing.
She beats me. She's even more Jewish than I am. Thrift shops.
Hey, if I can squeeze blood of a penny, I will. And you can ask my other half that. But a copper penny cannot produce blood.
Well, you understand where copper wire, how copper wire was invented, right?
Okay, clue me because it's been a while.
Ron, you know the answer to that, how copper wire was invented?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it was two Jews fighting over a penny. That's what I know. All right, we got our Jew joke in here for a little fun.
So
we can all laugh
that
now.
So
all right, what's on your mind, Francis?
Well, I tell you what, with the whole economic picture of what's going on being handed over and downplayed and everything is getting a bit absurd, especially with the so-called debt ceiling, which is like, you've got to be kidding me. For one thing, that debt clock that's up in Manhattan, it doesn't stop for anything.
No.
I mean, it's just absurd. And, of course, that debt ceiling, you might as well call it a debt pit. I think someone I heard made that comment, which was priceless and actually a lot more accurate for that matter.
Yeah, I agree. Because you're never going to get out of this debt. I mean, you're never going to get out of this thing. You can't even hardly pay the interest down on it. It's so huge.
When the IRS goes and issues interest on that, and they expect the everyday person as well as their children and grandchildren to pay on that interest, it's basically you're dealing with enslavement. Mm-hmm. And so if there are sectors of society that say, well, we've been enslaved for this, we've been enslaved for that, guess what? You're being enslaved now with the IRS, for crying out loud. Right. So who you want to yell at? Who do you want to take your frustrations out on? It's not your fellow human being. It's the parasite that's up in the District of Criminals, for that matter. So let's get our priorities in order as far as who's being victimized, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And enough of the garbage. I mean...
Well, may throw in also the odious debt, the debt that's made in your name, that you had no say-so about it. Ron, you can probably comment on the odious debt. You're not... Americans are really not responsible for the debts that the government acquires that's not in our best interest. I mean, they're breaking rules left and right, and they expect us to pay the bill, but we have no say-so, and it surely doesn't benefit the American people.
Well, that'd be the end of the ask. Go ahead.
In order for there to be a debt, there has to be an actual value to something. We haven't had value to our currency since 1933.
You think?
So, yeah, and you know, when we're talking about, and they're talking about the debt ceiling and going into bankruptcy, well, when your assets are less than your liabilities, you're already in bankruptcy. And that's where we are, or have been.
Yeah, and quite frankly, the only way you're going to get rid of the national debt, as well as the interest, that seems to be infinite for that matter, is for the IRS and the Federal Reserve to implode, period.
Right.
And, of course, a lot of people say, how do I pay for this? How do I pay for that? Well, if you actually start utilizing the skills you were birthed with to start with, then you might be getting somewhere in life. So, right. And not be reliant, on...
How about if we just cancel out the debt? It's based on a valueless currency.
Right, right.
Well, the federal government should be able to do that, if not the Federal Reserve should be able to do that. For that matter. I mean, what else? Well, I'm reminded of the film Distinguished Gentleman, for that matter. So in films, as you know, Steve, there is so much of a grain of truth in those films that it's like they're rubbing it in our face as to what they are doing to the people. So, and with that, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple with my Corona and the various variants.
All righty.
Later,
she's
folks.
She's got the cure to COVID with that Corona and the lime, Ron.
Ooh. I'll have to try it tonight.
I should probably add that to my protocol list here for COVID. I do have hydroxychloroquine on there, how to make your own, but might have to add the Corona. Let's go back to the phone. We're getting some great calls in tonight. Let's go back and talk to Scott in Nevada. Welcome, Scott.
Actually, it's Jim.
Is it really?
Are you still there? Yeah,
yeah, I'm here. I've got Scott on my radar here. It says Scott, Nevada.
Well, I could be Scott if you want me to be.
I'll tell you what, you be who you want to be. I'll take Jim. If you want to say your name's Jim, okay. That's a good alias.
I am Jim. And okay. You know what? I've known John, and I sure do miss John. His demeanor on the radio was just so pleasant to listen to. And I could always see why he always wanted you, Steve, on the program, because you have the same demeanor. And I've got to compliment you on that. You're so easy to listen to. You're really smart, and I'm not being a suck-up or anything. I'm just saying you're really good for the network, okay?
I appreciate that. And, you know, John was volatile at times, and I loved it. You know, slamming down headsets.
He got really pissed off at times too.
Oh, yeah.
Off,
you know? Well, you know, he made radio real. It's live. I mean, we're people. We have emotions. We have anger built up inside. I mean, you come in here and do this every damn day, and John did it every day. And I do understand the burnout on him that he kept calling me and say, "Hey, would you do the show for him? Would you do the show?" I kind of think, why would he keep asking me to do the show? Other than it's great training for me. But I did realize that after a while, this stuff kind of gets to you, and it's overwhelming. Sometimes the evilness, the corruption is so overwhelming. I mean, you want to put your hands around a neck, you want to squeeze something, and because of all this corruption going on, and so I do understand when John would blow his top, and I typically don't blow my top, but when somebody refuses to, you know, when I ask politely, would you show me the information where you found that? And he tells me, I don't have to show you anything. Well, now you've pushed my buttons, you know.
And, you know, and again, I totally understand. I did radio. I did interviews and stuff years ago. I'm so burned out. I understand exactly what you're talking about. But yeah. What I'd like to say, though, and sure. I know that you and John really like my sister Mary. Anyways, I'm going to talk about relationships, okay? And I'm thinking that years ago, all right, and I don't know what the problem is with men and women nowadays, but I really do think there is a mental connection with somebody, because I met my wife at a bar, okay? Mm-hmm. And I was when she was just turned 19, and the first time I saw her, I knew I couldn't live without her. Okay, and
that's cool.
But I worked at it, and anyways, we got together and we knew each other for 3 months when we got married. It's possible, and most of the people I know up here in Northern Michigan, been married for 20, 30 years. My wife and I are going on 48 years now, so
that's
it
great.
Is possible. But yeah. What I'm thinking, though, is there's some kind of a mental, again, even, you know, I won't go with the story or anything, but she came up and asked me to dance, you know. It's like us, almost mm-hmm. like she knew we were supposed to be together, you know.
Yeah.
And I think there's some Cinderella stories out, but not Cinderella. That's crazy shit.
But anyway. you probably also understand that it takes two, and you have to work at a relationship, a marriage. You're going to have differences, but you know how to. You know the saying is, you know how you have to know how to fight correctly, how to fight nicely, and in disagreements. And I'm not sure that any of that's really known today. You know, this is a very me generation here. I want this and I want this and I want this. And so that doesn't work really well in a relationship. But you know, in your age and your experience and your maturity,
you have to work at
marriage.
Steve, yeah. My wife and I have never had an argument in our life.
I missed that last part. Hold on to that thought. We'll bring you back after commercial. I just missed that. Sorry.
The truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at susannasecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, secret.com.
And we're back. Let's go back to the phones here and talk to Jim in Northern Michigan. I missed that last part before the commercial break there, Jim. So go ahead and clarify what you said again.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And I grew up with 7 type A personality sisters, okay? And I've got 3 brothers. And I think you know my family. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that I've never in 40, almost... it's going to be 49 years here, I've ever had an argument with my wife. Hmm. And I guess the reason I would say is the fact that if you're going to be a man, you can have your ego man, whatever, a dominant thing, whatever it is. But the whole point is to get along with the woman. You have to listen to what their, not demands, but what their expectations are. And yeah. My wife and I said, again, okay, this is what you don't want me to do. This is what you want me to do. I mean, we set limitations on ourselves.
Yeah.
We didn't have to argue about it. We didn't have to fight about it. We just said, okay, well, what do you expect? And I have the greatest wife. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. And she's a sweetheart. I married her when she was 19. She came from a very Christian family, three sisters and what have you. The whole point is that you have to listen to women. And to get along with women, have a great marriage, you have to listen and just go, okay, what are your limitations? You don't even have to ask them what it is. You just find out by just living with them, but never arguing about, you know, this or that or tit or tat for who does the dishes or who takes out the trash or whatever. It's just, you just live together. And that's with my wife and I have. And I've been so blessed, Steve.
That's good. Congratulations. I know in my first marriage, I only had been married. Well, that was the one. And the second one here has been the perfect one. But the first young marriage was, it was economics. She couldn't hold back her spending, restrain her spending. She liked to spend money and she would charge up the card. And that created some problems. And that eventually led to the dissolution of our marriage. It's just, she never learned her lesson because she went out and bought things and divorced, and she bought a bunch of cars and she bought this and that. And she got married again and divorced again. And I don't think she ever really learned her lesson. But,
you know, it's so funny you mentioned that because a gentleman my wife works with, his wife does the same thing. And, yeah. He asked my wife, what does Jim think about that, you know? And I'm going, because he keeps talking to his wife about this. It's been like 20 years, you know? And I said, well, honey, if you keep doing the same thing time and time again and you get the same results,
you know definition what I mean? Of insanity.
Do you think a marriage would be successful if the woman's more intelligent than the man?
Well, I know for sure. My wife, she's intelligent in so many. She would read a book a day. I mean, she's a reader, incredible person. Okay,
yeah.
She's very good with finances and stuff like that. I'm good at different things too. But we all recognize what our she does the finances now because she's so good at it. I do the work, bring in the money and stuff. So we have our purposes, you know. And the whole thing is you have to understand you don't fight to get where you're at. You work together to find out what you're good at together.
Right.
And that's what marriages now, I think they watch the soap operas or whatever they watch, and they go, this is the whole point of marriage. You're going to have hard times. Mm-hmm. You're going to have good times. Most of my times have been really good times.
You
know what? But I don't put any pressures on my wife to be something I don't want her to be. I let her be who she is, and she will come on board when she's ready to come on board to do whatever she's going to do with finances or whatever. And you know what? Just enjoy the fact that this is a woman you love and you marry. So don't put all these expectations on it. It's like a guy type thing. Just go with the flow and see how it goes. And my wife is very frugal, though, and I understand what you were saying, Steve, too.
She's Jewish also?
Well, no, actually, my family...
I'm teasing. That's where we're talking about now. We're getting inducted into Judaism is just by watching our money now. We're, you know, if I watch my money and you watch your money, well, that's being Jewish, and now you can claim being Jewish. So it's a little joke we have.
The thing is that I'm the Kozlowski family. And we are part of Ashkenazi, okay, with my grandma.
Oh.
So it's like, what can I say? But, you know, I don't think that, I just know the difference between Ashkenazi and Sephardic. And, it's no big deal. But anyways, thank you so much for letting me share about men just listen to your wife's.
Yeah.
Just go with the flow, and yeah. She'll love her forever, you know? So what can I
all
say?
Right.
And
Jim,
don't fight.
Thank you for your call, and congratulations on your longevity of your marriage. I wonder, Ron, if Jim read that book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus.
Oh.
All right, appreciate the call. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Darren in Illinois. Welcome, Darren.
Hey, good day. Thank you so much for setting those bigoted guys and putting them in check. I really appreciate that. I'm really disheartened with the alternative
media. I just asked for proof. All I asked was for proof. Show me something, email it to me, and he said, I don't have to show you anything. That's not what you say when you call into a guest as a host on a show. You don't tell him, no, I don't owe you anything. I don't have to tell you anything, but you make these accusations. That doesn't work well.
So much of the alternative media is just wrought with this bigoted stuff, and I just don't think that's going to do anybody any good. It's not going to serve any good purpose whatsoever.
Agreed.
And Martin Luther King, I consider him a great man. I consider him a national treasure. I don't buy into all this this filth I've heard about the man. I've listened to his speeches, and I think he was a man of integrity. But you know, somebody might tell me I'm wrong. But I think he made the world a better place with his time he spent with us before he was murdered. And in regard,
well, he wasn't the perfect man. He has faults like every other man, and I think I mentioned those earlier. And other than that, the premise of what his speech was about, I agree with that 100%. I judge a man by the content of his character, not by the color of his skin, and I agree with that 100%. And I admitted my prejudice earlier that I discriminate, but it's not against any of that. It's against bad behavior and how you treat people, and just practice the golden rule, and we're all in good shape. He wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. Ron's not perfect.
It wearies me that I'm supposed to hate the Muslims, or I'm supposed to hate the blacks, or I'm supposed to hate the Jews, or the whites.
Well, think about how much negative energy that takes to go into hating somebody. Think about how much time you have to take and consume in your life to hating something. That's a lot of negative energy. I hate somebody. It eats you up inside. I've seen people that were that way, and they age very, very fast. They spend their entire life not loving but hating. And it really shows in their health and their appearance. That's a lot of negative energy to build up hate
really
and carry hate.
I think it's really popular these days to be pointing fingers and to be doing some hating. I think it's a real popular thing to do. You don't have to take credit, you know, for your own shortcomings. You can blame somebody else.
Yeah, I guess
you know,
so. Yeah.
It's that group over there. They're the ones keeping me down, you know, and it kind of exonerates you from any fault. But in regards to relationships and people waiting until later in life to marry,
yeah.
I think that's a first world problem. I think in the more basic societies, people marry young and don't think twice about it. And I'm a product of the first world and rock and roll and blue jeans and all this.
Sure.
And I got around, man, and I didn't want to get married. And and I exceeded the average, I think, in terms of just wasting my sustenance, man, with getting as much as I could with these women. And I was married.
Well, I made 7 years, and every day on her side there was a 7-year itch, and plus the finances, the economics. So it's the way it goes.
I learned
a valuable lesson, and I carried it later in life. To make wiser decisions, because I remember my father saying Americans, they spend more time looking at all the accessories and options they want to buy and add to their brand new car, but they don't apply that same logic of when they're looking for a spouse, for a woman they want to spend the rest of their life with. And we need to take that time, that really important time, to get to know somebody. And character really does matter. And date somebody for a period of time, because everything's all nice and fresh and nice and sweet. And happiness early on, 6 months or a year into the relationship, go beyond that, and then you start to see there's a little friction, and you, how do you deal with that friction? How's this going to work? It's important to challenge the relationship before you actually take that big step. You know,
that woman caller that introduced this subject, she said, you know, just think of all the people that you could meet that you hadn't met yet. You know, if you marry young, then you're depriving yourself of all that.
Yeah.
All those other people. Oh, all those other people. You know what? I had just like an
epiphany. there's a song called that. It's bad to be with someone when the right one comes along. Do you remember that song back in the 70s?
Yeah, looking for love
it's
in
sad,
all the wrong
it's
places.
Sad to belong to somebody when the right one comes along. I'm thinking it's Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah, the intimacy that I experienced in the marriage when I was married, I mean, it changed my life, man. I'd never looked at things the same since. It's a beautiful thing to have a wife.
Sure.
When it's good, I'm sure. In a bad marriage, it could be the worst thing in the world. When there's that dysfunction under the roof, I'm sure that could be a very ugly, especially if there's children involved.
Oh, yeah.
Children got to watch.
Especially children.
Right. If there's
That's when you want to invest in a really nice couch. If you got to spend a lot of time sleeping on the couch, you want a nice, comfortable couch, Ron.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys, I appreciate your time, and thank you again, Steve, for everything.
All right. Appreciate the call.
See,
didn't realize
that
the show was going to be on relationships tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing is that parents don't teach their children how to establish good relationships with their future partners.
They don't.
And I think that's a big problem here in America.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I found out if you cheat in high school on a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you're more likely to be that kind of person that gets married and cheats on his spouse.
Yeah.
If you can't be loyal to your boyfriend or your girlfriend in high school, then it kind of carries over, and these people cheat on a spouse. So I don't know. Let's go back and get another phone call here from Murr in Wisconsin. Welcome, Murr.
Hello, Steve and Ron. I have something I want to tell you and something to do with Dave's stuff. If you want to look in your email, there's some proof there, but he had the names wrong. But what I wanted to tell you about, besides exposing,
you know what,
I should
have known that Murr would call in, because Murr's very good at research, and if there's any truth to this, Murr would have called in and said, that's true, Steve. Thank you, Murr. I'll check out the email.
Well, let me get to this first, and then we can get to that. But, you know, we need to expose evil and not be a part of it. But a few Martin Luther King days back, you were worried about possibly a suit because there was a wrong spelling by one letter in Ginsburg about Marty Ginsburg being in NAMBLA, and he was. And so I called in and I asked you if you and John, if you knew who Stanley David Levison, it's no N in there, is why I'm saying Levison. Okay, yeah. If you knew who he was, do you remember who he was?
God, I don't even remember the conversation. No, I don't. I don't.
Okay. Well, he was the handler and speechwriter for Martin Luther King. And I want to say something about MLK in a minute, what that means.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was looking at the FBI report on him right when you were saying that about the spelling. And he spelled his name, I forget, it was 20 or 22 different ways.
Wow.
Yeah. And MLK, it's interesting that we only have two holidays in the year that celebrate one person, and that's one individual, that's Jesus Christ, and that's Martin Luther King. MLK in Hebrew means Moloch. Okay?
And that means what?
What means what?
No, what Moloch. You just said, it means what now?
Moloch. Do you know who Moloch is, was?
No. I'm going to play ignorant on this. I don't know.
It's who they burn their babies to. In 1933, 101 days after Judea declared war on Germany on March 24, 1933, so on July 3rd, it was apparently World's Fair, and they had Romance of a People. And I've seen reports of 125,000 or 150,000 Jews in Chicago, and they were doing this, hopefully, mock burning of a child, sacrificing to Moloch. Okay?
Ron, did you know this?
Yeah, I've heard of it before.
Oh.
And they're okay. running around screaming, well, it's in the Bible. And there's right now, E. Michael Jones dug this out, 140 different Jewish organizations that say abortion is a right of Judaism. Now, Judaism is a cult, okay? It started 300 years after Christ. And Stephen Weiss, a rabbi in 1935, says, communism, I call it what it is, Judaism. Okay, so there's a lot to this, okay? And we know there is a lot of lying, hello? You know, but with this thing with what David was saying, it's in Haaretz, too. His name was Kahn, K-O-H-N. That's how it was pronounced. His grandfather put a pencil down on the map, and it landed on Cary County. That's why they changed their name to Cary. But I sent it to you in your email, in the Haaretz account, you have, you know, you subscribe, so there's only a little bit of it. But I also sent the David Duke one that has the whole thing in there for you. So if you want to dig that out and read some of it, that'd be great for all of us.
I would be happy to do that. Thank you. I'll take a look at it. Definitely.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mer.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I guess we can. Actually, we don't have anybody lined up here, but we'll just keep going. What the heck? Oh, he didn't pop up. Dan in Washington, let's take. And then Dan in Washington, you're up next.
Can you hear me okay?
Hear you fine. What's on your mind?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't hear a lot of the show. I just want kind of Merv stole my thunder, but John Kerry's family was Jewish. He had it backwards, so he didn't change it from Kerry to Cohen. He changed it from Cohen to Kerry. Obviously, the Irish, though, you know, from Massachusetts. Part of the crypto.
Now is his wife agenda. the Heinz dynasty there? Was his wife Jewish? Heinz, was she Jewish?
I have to look into that. I'm not sure. I know John Kerry was though. I actually met John Kerry and he seemed like a good guy when I met him. His eyes were like black as coal though. You know, he gave me a weird vibe, but I didn't know about him. But it's kind of a. I had to salute him in the Army in Massachusetts face-to-face. And he seems like a really serious guy.
You saluted a politician in the Army?
Yeah.
Did they tell you to do that?
Yeah, no, I was in the Army. I was doing the Vietnam Looking Wall ceremony, and he came to observe the moving Vietnam Wall, you know, with all the names on it. And, you know, I got in trouble. I didn't shave that day, but I did better than the other guy because when you're at a memorial and you salute, you're supposed to go really slow when they say attention. And the other guy screwed up and went really fast. So you're all nervous about that. But, anyway, yeah, that's basically why I called. I just, the whole Martin Luther thing, the bottom line is, if you're an example of this and moving away from California, is that most Americans don't have the same dream as Martin Luther King, where black, brown, all these different races play together. You know, and I think you can see that what happened since the 60s of the white flight, you know, the crime, all these cities like Philadelphia, Detroit, Los Angeles, and so, you know, I mean, definitely, I kind of agree with you, you know, judge someone by their character, good point, but to me, it shows another way the conservative movement betrayed their base, because conservatism is basically neo-reactionary. It doesn't really stand for anything. Like, if you go back to Reagan's first campaign, he was running against the civil rights movement, he was running against hippies, but Chicago 7, you know, these radical Bolshevik types. But, you know, now, you know, his base got nothing out of that. They pushed in a lot of the bad stuff about the civil rights movement. Some of it was good, but a lot of it was bad. And then you had, you know, so whatever the conservative argues against, 10 years later, they're going to be arguing for. And that's what happened with MLK, because you had Glenn Beck come out and start worshiping MLK, what a great dream he was. And, you know, it's kind of what we're seeing. The Republican Conservative Party now is basically just a 1970s liberal. You know what I mean?
I agree. Like, yeah, it's certainly not the party I remember as a child growing up. It's not the same party. No.
And they just, it's just because they just don't openly defend white people. You know, if they could honestly defend white people, they might even get more white voters.
Yeah.
You can see it like Nixon saying, well, we'll do this for whites and blacks. But the whole conservative thing is such a sham, you know. So I was watching, you know, for the Dick Cavett show.
Mm-hmm.
Like Johnny Carson in the
60s. Yeah, I remember Dick Cavett.
Yeah, he had some conservative politician on there, and they were talking about the Chicago 7.
Yeah.
The guy was like saying, you know, I don't believe going to your college campus, locking the door and lighting fires and all these tactics.
Yeah.
And it just stuck to me that that was the beginning of the whole divide and conquer conservative reactionary. Yeah.
I think the most memorable Dick Cavett show I remember, and you may remember this one, Ron, you may remember this one. Do you remember when Dick Cavett had a homosexual on? No, I'm serious. And he brought out this unknown person and said he's a homosexual, and as if this was some rare entity that we have somebody here, and he's a homosexual. And he was, I remember the show. The guy was a no-namer. I mean, who's this guy? I don't know. He's a homosexual. I'm having a homosexual on my show. I'll never forget that show. It made no sense other than trying to show the liberal side of it, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's what they did. It's like, oh, let's hear about this lady called Gloria Steinem. You know, let's talk about, you know, they would push these agendas kind of acting like they were against them in a way. Or
that's Anderson, you know, Cooper's mom. Yeah, I know. and we wonder why Anderson Cooper turned out the way he did. You know, he's dressing in Gloria Steinem's dresses and wearing the little shoes as a little boy and prancing around the house. Shame on you, Anderson.
Hey, real quick, before I go, a good book, the guy, Mentor for Mars, Member for Venus, he wrote another one called
David Gray.
Venus
David
on
Gray.
Fire, Mars on Ice. Yeah, Venus on Fire, Mars on Ice. And it's a good explanation of the divorce rate, you know. And I guess Ronald Reagan gave America a no-fault divorce, too. So it's just kind of another example of stupid stuff. But anyway, it's a good book. It explains a lot. It's the feminist movement and it actually creates biological changes in women having to work full time and take care of kids full time.
Yeah, it's tough.
So they become less feminine. So that guy developed a thing called lithium orotate that causes women to down.
But all right, Dan. Anyway, that closes out our show. Thanks for the call. We did a show on relationships today. I feel good about that. Ron?
Yeah. I feel good about it.
Yeah, much different course we took on the second hour than we did the first hour.
Well,
that completes our show this evening. I'm back again in the studio on Sunday for my show, Off the Beaten Path. Thank you for your interesting calls. Health, happiness, and safe travels, everybody. We will talk again. Good night.
We must take America back. We must take America back.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine.
to you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.